Summer camps. Oh my goodness. Did you know that summer holidays are a week longer this year?
Yeah, I know. And they seem earlier this year as well. I'm very pleased. As I know, next week is going to be one of those weeks. No, I mean,
this is the last week. This is the week that kids are going to be off school at the end of it. You've got Eid, but it's like more than 2 months. What are you going to do? This is what we're going to do. Right now, we're going to be speaking to Jenny Mullen, early years editor at whichschooladvisor.com and Emily Jardine, reviews editor at Which School Advisor also. Hello and welcome.
Hello. Hi.
Great to see you guys. You're here. You guys have done a summer camp special.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there's a lot of work. There's a lot of effort that's gone into this for Which School Advisor. It's unbelievable. I mean, this is the thing. We've got such long summer holidays. You just kind of, as a parent, you sit there and you wonder, what on earth are my kids going to do? You don't want them to be in front of a screen the whole time. So where do we start when we're thinking about a summer camp for the kids?
Well, I think for me, I'm the nursery specialist.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess a lot of parents would be putting their children for sort of longer stretches into their own regular nursery. But if you're new to Dubai and arriving in the summer, actually, it's a great way to sort of edge your child gently into the start of September. So that's definitely something that I would recommend to people.
That's a good tip, you know, actually.
Yeah, sort of gradual settling in process rather than boom, September comes
around. For the little ones.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so because it's more fun, you're not quite, you know, in a uniform yet and it's all rules and all set and what there are rules, of course. But it's kind
but
of
just
like
just a sort of familiarisation with the people and the place. Mm-hmm. Very useful.
Definitely. You'll find that most schools here offer some form of summer camp. And even just for our article that we did it, and I have to shout out to Kirsty, who's our editorial director and really worked hard on that with over 100 listings. But you'll find that most schools, even if they aren't directly running the summer camp, they'll have their campus open. So it's a great way for a child who's new to Dubai or new to a school to start to feel like that camp and that school is their home.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps with the transition.
I mean, as a parent, though, here in the summer, if you stay here during July, August, you have to do something with your kids to put them in summer camp. Otherwise, they go stir crazy. It's just too hot. I mean, we've had 50 degrees over the weekend here. You can't just put your children outside and let them fry, can you?
Well, and that's one of the issues, too, is that there's only so many indoor bouncy play areas you can take your child to. And, you know, obviously, one of our aims today is to calm parents and let them know that it doesn't have to be Harvard-level education that your child is receiving over the summer, but at the same time, you want your child engaged. You want them to be doing more than just sitting around watching
TV. I mean, the thing is here, this is about structure, isn't it? It's not necessarily about the next stage of learning. This is occupational therapy to some extent, I suppose.
For the parents.
It's a sanity keeper.
Well, exactly, it is. But it is about, you know, occupying young minds. There is an element of when they're at home, they can do their thinking, the daydreaming, but the structure during the day, it's not about furthering education. It's just about having some fun, really.
Yeah, and I think it's really important, actually, that parents don't sort of try and select places with too much of an academic focus. You know, children need to unwind in the summer as well, and we need to strike that balance between, yes, keeping a routine, keeping active, perhaps learning a few things, great, as we go along, but just chilling out as well, you know, just having some downtime.
How do you, I mean, there are so many, I feel like this year in particular, there are so many more summer camps that are kind of popping up. You know, I'm receiving emails and there are all types of summer camps, and some that you can take your kid to for only a day and some it's a minimum of a week and, you know, longer and that kind of thing. So how do you kind of go about picking one? You know, where do you start as a parent?
I mean, I think one of the things we want to really focus is that make it easy for yourself. So we really recommend looking around you, making location a priority, because first of all, it's summer and you don't want to be driving around. Well, it's really hot. And the school next to you is probably just as good as the school, you know, 30 kilometers from you. But then obviously also you want to make sure that the price is appropriate for your price range, because, you know, in our research, we found they start at about $250 a week, but it can go up. And so you want to make sure that if you're staying here, especially because parents might be staying here to save money, that you then don't blow that budget on trying to put your child in the best summer camp. So just whatever's easy.
What's available for $250 a week? Because I'm signing up for that. Because, I mean, but the thing is, you could spend 1,000, 2,000 dirhams a week quite easily. So there is a range of stuff. Do you know what we need to do is go through some of the camp types. Let's have a look at some of the things that you've seen from your research. Before we get to the pros and cons, what kinds of things have you been looking at?
I mean, certainly for the nurseries, the operation tends to be, it's a gentle continuation of the term. So there isn't a huge amount of sort of variation. You know, they're not going to suddenly start doing Mandarin or origami lessons or whatever, but you know, it's a gentle continuation, but perhaps at a bit of a slower pace. I do find that a lot of the nurseries stop having the visiting teachers come in, which, you know, the sports teachers and the language teachers and that kind of thing. So parents really need to be questioning them and saying, well, if you're not doing X, Y, and Z, then what else? You know, so where's that going to come in? One really interesting summer camp I saw, and I thought it was a fantastic idea, and I think loads of nurseries should do this. It was a school readiness camp. So aimed at the children who are joining sort of FS1, KG1 in come September. So just the soft skills that are really going to help them, that transition, to be easy. And I thought it was a fantastic idea.
Okay, so it's not just about sports. I mean, I don't know. I go to the experience of my son, and he really has only interest in football and nothing else. So I suppose I always put him into a sports camp, she always put him into a football camp over the summer. But there's lots of stuff that kids can
do. There's so much available. I think that's one of the great things about them being a lot more expansive and available. I mean, we've seen obviously sports camps, but there's science camps, educational camps, there's drama camps, photography camps, ceramics, filmmaking. There's so much available now in Dubai that your child can just have a really exciting summer doing something amazing at a summer camp.
Sally Musa.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. Should you put them in for a whole week? And for those of us who can't afford, you know, what is it? Because you were saying 250.
Mm-hmm.
What is there available kind of in the lower end possibly for kids?
Well, I mean, one of the ones that we've seen that's actually quite a surprise is Al Nasser Leisureland. It's about 1,000 dirhams a month up in Deira. And so they offer a lot of activities for kids during the day.
Because you wonder, do you think, are they going to be, you know, on iPads? Are they going to be watching films or whatever during the day? Like, you know, you hope that there's going to be a point to it. Well, it's not just...
And I think I definitely would say to parents, you know, don't be afraid to question. You know, we've found loads of camps. And I would say, talk to them about the prices, because I haven't found any yet that are full. and really question them about what your children are going to be doing all day long. It's not, you know, glorified babysitting if you're paying a good amount of money. You know, there needs to be something that they're doing.
Yeah, and we just want to make sure when parents go to, when they're choosing a summer camp, that they're, you know, ensuring that the teachers are certified, that health and safety is covered, that not only is your child being entertained and learning, but that they're safe. And especially in the summer heat, it's so critical to, and you just check these things as a parent. And so that's something we really want to emphasize.
Okay, two guests today. We've got Jenny Mullen here from Which School Advisor, also Emily Jardine from Which School Advisor. We're talking about summer camps, how to choose them, the types of camps, fundamentals. We're going to look at the pros and cons and other stuff as well. If you've got a question, 4001 or via the free app or 423 1010. Any thoughts, observations, get in touch, put your name on there, and we'll ask those questions or put that point forward in a few moments.
This is Drive Live
on Dubai I-103.8.
I was just going to say, if you're following the cricket or you want the latest, 267 for four now. Babar Azam's just been caught for 46. We're keeping up to date with that. There's around about 10 more overs to go in that. We're into Education Matters now. Two guests with us.
This is Education Matters.
Education Matters.
On Drive Live.
And it's about summer camps today. So Jenny Mullins here, Emily Jardine's here. They're both from whichschooladvisor.com. We're talking about what your kids could be doing this summer. What kind of a camp should they look for? What kind of things should you look for? What's available? Toddlers camps, sports camps, multi-activity camps, STEM, educational camps, art and drama. There really is loads to do. It's too hard to go through the whole lot. What I wanted to go to now, Jenny, first of all, was, I suppose, the pros and cons of summer camps. The pros. Let's start there, first of all. Why should you be sending your kids?
I think we've already talked about the sort of just keeping your children active, keeping them busy. You know, it's very easy, as we all know. I've got a six-year-old and I've got a two-year-old, and it is very easy on a hot afternoon to hand over the iPad. So just limiting that kind of time, that kind of challenging time for parents. But I think, you know, definitely we really feel, Emily and I, that you know, these camps shouldn't have too much of an academic focus, but perhaps keeping a few skills going, you know, for the very youngest of children, just penmanship, you know, picking up a pen every day is really important. Keeping those fine motor skills going if they're going to be starting to learn to write, and, you know, keeping a sort of focus on literacy. And that just means hearing stories. It doesn't mean, you know, getting out an encyclopedia and flicking through it. It's just the gentle aspects of education can be kept going through the summer without pushing your kids too hard.
Do you know, I always think as well, when your children are young, they're just getting used to school. I remember with my daughter, for example, going to a summer camp for a couple of weeks, and it was hard for her because this is a whole new set of people.
Yeah,
so this is
it's
a difficult environment when you're that young to walk into, but actually that's a real strong character building thing. You can meet people outside of your normal circle of friends, your peers, and it's very helpful, I always think, Emily, when it comes to being more socially interactive, surely.
Well, and that's one of the things that we also want to emphasize is you know your child, and for some kids having the opportunity to interact with a lot of other kids who are outside of their school group is a great opportunity. And especially one of the benefits of summer camps is that the age group is a little bit more diverse, so you're interacting with slightly older and slightly younger kids. But if your child is really shy, it might be better to just slowly maybe send them for a day or two during the week and then up it until they get used to their new peer group. But it's a great way to make new friends.
A couple of things to think about, though, as well, that we were discussing off air is the ratio of teachers to students. Mm. And so what's a good ratio to look for? And also the credentials of the people who are running the summer camp
absolutely.
As well.
And it is a little bit of a grey area. You know, in nurseries, certainly in the British system, the gold standard of what a nursery teacher might be is either a degree qualified person or someone with a cash diploma. But through the summer period, are nurseries still doing that? I don't know. Some are, some aren't. But certainly in terms of ratios, child to adult ratios, we should be looking at under twos, minimum of 1 to 3, and then sort of 2 to 4, 1 to 4. You know, and they're the minimums, and that should not slip. That's the fundamentals. That's what's going to keep your child safe when they're out of your
care.
1 to 4. 1 to 4 for children over 2. Mm. Yeah, but if they're younger than that, and as we just said off air as well, some of the summer camps are taking children from as young as 9 months, earlier even, you know, because summer camp is a gateway into joining the nursery full-time in September.
Mm. But I suppose as well, if something's too inexpensive, too cheap, you've got to look at that as well, because you want certain standards.
The staff are going to be the highest, the biggest outgoing for the nursery at the end of the day. So, just don't be afraid to ask questions, parents.
What about older kids? In terms of older kids, you know, in terms of the ratio for students to teachers, and also thinking about, you know, the needs of older kids are going to be different, and will they actually want to go to the summer camp?
Well, and I think that's a great point. You know, I think one of the things to look at is to make sure if you have an older child that the age range within the summer camp is not too diverse, because no matter how cool your kid is, he or she probably doesn't want to hang out with a 6-year-old all day if he's 15. So making sure that the kids are grouped according to their age in an appropriate way. And then if you're looking at teacher to student ratio, I mean, usually it's about 1 to 15. But again, you want to make sure these people are qualified, or that a minimum health and safety trained, first aid training, because it's still school. And, you know, we shouldn't let safety standards slip just because it's, it feels a little bit more relaxed. But, I mean, also the summer is a great chance for older kids to decompress a little bit. And surprisingly, a lot of the upper secondary students have a lot of work to do for the upcoming school year, and they may not have time for summer camp. So, you know, it's about checking in with your child and seeing what meets their needs.
It's also an opportunity for perhaps the older kids to maybe go and help out at some of these things as well.
Yeah, and we've actually seen that at some of the summer camps where some of the older kids will be teaching assistants or help with the sports teams, especially if they have a sports background or a background that meets the needs of the summer camp. And that can be a really great skill building opportunity for your child if he or she is older, or for a younger child to interact with a cool teenager that maybe they don't usually get to interact with.
It's like, you know, it's a whole leadership thing, right? Because you want that, and the older kids, that's the kind of thing, the leadership skills that you want them to really cultivate, as they say.
Yeah.
And
well,
that's a good opportunity, I think.
Well, and exactly. And especially in Dubai, I think internship opportunities are developing and blossoming. But for so many of us, we grew up with the opportunity to work over the summer, to gain skills over the summer. And so the fact that those opportunities are becoming more available in Dubai is great, you know, and I think everyone wins.
All right, let me get to a question that came in on the text a little while ago, actually. Michael says, when you pay 40-50K for three-year-old school fees, which many people do, it is very expensive, any cheaper options than an expensive summer camp? I mean, I know you've looked at this in some detail, but, you know, when you're paying that much and you've got to pay out during the summer holidays as well, yeah, you can see why it's concerned.
It's really tough for parents. And as we just said, you know, when the summer's so long this year, yeah, you know, that figure can really tot up. I mean, we have seen camps, certainly we've seen them sort of, the cheapest I think I've seen was about 600 dirhams for a week full time, which was really good, but that was for age 6+. There is a huge diversity in prices. So parents, you know, if you go out there and do your homework, you will find they are out there. But the other thing, you know, they're not full, these camps. Negotiate, talk to them. You know, if I put two kids in here, can I get a sibling discount?
Are you offering something to look for?
Yeah, absolutely. And are you offering a free bus? Some of them are, you know, anything to make your life easier. But definitely, you know, we're not seeing summer camps that are bursting at the seams with children, yeah, because a lot of people are doing it this year. So,
yeah, we had a text in actually from Marwan asking about a summer camp for four-year-old and a six-year-old with reliable transportation. And I think more and more of them are actually offering transportation now, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. And definitely more on our list on the Which School Advisor website, we've got a couple that are offering transportation.
It's an incredible list on your site. There's so many different categories. You've got seven different categories here. Toddler camps, sports camps, multi-activity, STEM education camps, art and drama, camps in Abu Dhabi even, if you are out there, camps in the Northern Emirates as well. So you really just kind of tried to cover everything, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the things we noticed is that more parents are staying here this summer. And so there's more camps available, which means there's more camps to cover, which, as Jenny mentioned, means that it actually gives you a little bit of an edge if you're looking for a camp and you want to see what's out there. There's a lot.
Well, so, judging by what's coming in here on the text, we could do a few recommendations from what we've seen through here. We're not going to do the advertising for now, but as he's texting in about a place called the Study Room, for example, somebody else texting in about apprenticeships. Why do they not exist here? It is something that is kind of starting to catch on. Have I think it's 500 dirhams for a part-time or an apprenticeship license. You do now have to do that, don't you?
No.
Yeah, you do.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, for an apprenticeship license now, or for to be able to work part-time, you do need to get a license. But you can officially get a license with an NOC from whoever sponsored you, father,
right,
mother,
okay,
in this. So that's something that we're starting to see. But it's that's kind of a word-of-mouth thing at the moment,
well,
isn't it?
But it's definitely something to pursue. I know so many high school students who've done internships, and so that's really just about taking the initiative and finding out if the company you work for or your friends, if they hire interns, because obviously all of the paperwork and everything needs to be in order. But that's an amazing opportunity, and I think it will grow 2-3-fold as, you know, organizations realize the breadth of skill out there and the energy that young people bring into an organization.
It's the perfect time, the summer, to kind of just start working and get into the industry that you're thinking about later on. But something we touched on earlier that maybe, you know, in a bit more detail, health and safety, especially when, you know, a lot of camps are, of course, offering swimming, you know, for the kids. And this, you know, as a parent, I'd be thinking, oh, do they have proper lifeguards? Yeah. Are there people there who are going to be really looking after the kids? How do you navigate that? I'd be worried.
Absolutely grill them about the qualifications of the people. And the staff-to-child ratios are vital, you know. You don't want to see one person with 10 young kids in a pool. It's just, So, you know, lifeguard on duty for sure, staff-to-child ratios and the qualifications of the child, of the teacher. But also, you know, if they give you the name of a qualification, you don't know what it is, go away and Google it. Like, is it a useful qualification? I know swim teaching, you know, there's gold standard, there's good standard, and then there's other qualifications you can get in a day.
And obviously, are they pediatric and first aid trained? Because these things can't slip.
No. Okay, so appropriate qualifications, deciding on your child yourself, you know your child best. The big list, the Which School Advisor Summer Camp Big List is online at whichschooladvisor.com, isn't it? That's the answer to Jane's question. Jane's just texted in there. Two guests today talking about summer camps. Jenny Mullen, early years editor at Which School Advisor. Jenny, appreciate you being here. Thank you.
Thank you.
And also Emily Jardine, reviews editor at whichschooladvisor.com. Emily, good to see you again. Thanks for coming back.
Great to be here.
it didn't scare you away, which is always a bonus. In a couple of minutes' time, we're going to be talking about another different kind of summer camp. It is sport in the headlines at the moment. It is rugby, but this is a hacker summer camp. That's something else that's happened. And we're going to be talking to the co-owner to get some more details on that. Education Matters continues.
No matter your preferred communication, stay in touch with Drive Live, only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
It is Drive Live. It is Education Matters. We've been talking about summer camps on the program today, and more on summer camps now, actually. Something new this year here in Dubai. Hacker Rugby is launching in Dubai, July the 30th at Dubai Sports World. The co-owner is on the line now. Regan Su joins us from Italy, of all places. Regan, good to have you on.
Kia ora koutou, everybody. How you run? How's it going?
Hey, not bad, thank you. So let's run through where the idea for this came from. And at the moment, with what's happening in rugby terms, it brings things into focus. But where did this all start?
Well, actually, mate, it was between myself and my my colleague, Troy Nathan, co-owner of Hacker Rugby Global. We got together in 2015, towards the end of 2015, and we were having a coffee, as you do in Italy. You have a lot of coffee. And I was ready to go home to New Zealand, and we just got together and had a laugh. I said, look, why don't we do a camp? Cool, why don't we do a camp? Let's involve the multiculture. And so we did two camps, just as a bit of a laugh, to be honest, you know, just get out there and share what we know. And anyway, those two camps turned into a one camp of 80 kids and one camp of 90 kids. Then towards August 2016, Troy had to come home because his dad passed away. We got together again, and he said to me, you know, why don't we take this serious? So I said, if we're going to take it serious, let's take it international. So in that time, we've gone from two camps in Italy to 40-odd camps around the world in 22 countries.
That's incredible, Regan, that you've taken it now to 22 countries. It's now coming to the UAE. It's new here now. You know, I've watched some of the videos from your camps on YouTube. And, you know, you've based it all around the haka, which is, you know, it is the traditional New Zealand Maori dance that you do before a rugby game. You just see that there is this connection that happens with these kids between them and for the culture. Tell me about it. What is the aim of it? And what are you hoping to achieve with these kids?
Well, our mission statement or our motto is utilizing rugby, multiculture and rugby as a tool to create future world leaders. It's not even about the rugby. The rugby is only part of it. It's only a tool or part of the process of the end result. And just for the world it is today, you know, with all the negativity around me, we just want to do our small part in creating world leaders. And we know, because of the first-hand experience, we know that the multiculture is really good at developing whānau, which is like an extended family. It's a name we use in our culture. It's called whānau. And it's just turning kids into our whānau, becoming our people. And, you know, it only takes 3-day camp sometimes, and these kids just come out so tight, and they're looking after each other, and we're working as a tribe. And we have a saying in multiculture that we all come from different colours and threads, but when you go through the eye of the needle, you're all Māori. We have the same sort of philosophy. When you go through the eye of the needle, we're all one tribe. So it's all based around that. And like I said, rugby is just a tool in this process of it.
Sure, Regan, just run us through what happens at the camp. I mean, the rugby is a tool, do the kids actually get up to?
Yeah, so what happens in a typical, in our typical template is either a 3-day camp or a 5-day camp. Either way, they turn up on the morning, okay, and the first thing they do is they get the gear. Once they get the gear, what we have to do is, in the Māori culture, you can't just knock on the door and walk in. You have to be welcomed in. So at that stage, you're manuhiri, or you're like a foreigner, you're considered. You have to be welcomed in to become tangata whenua in our country, which is people of the land. So what happens is we do a formal welcoming, which is called a pōwhiri, which we welcome them on. We go through all the protocols, which is like a waiata, a song. We bless them. We bring them through. We greet them in our way, which is like a hongi, which is nose on nose. Okay, then we get into it, and we get into all the rugby formats. We go through the skills testing, et cetera, et cetera. But during the camp, they're also learning our haka. It's not even utilized in New Zealand. It's only a haka for Haka Rugby Global. It's called Ngatira Futupouro. And bringing in the Tita Futupouro, the theme of the haka is about bringing people together from around the world and making them into one. So the Hakka is the main thing that brings us tight. So they're learning that over 3 days. And then towards the end, the kids will welcome their parents onto the rugby club and make them tangata whenua, people of the land. So not only do we welcome the kids, the kids welcome their parents and go through the same process again.
It's incredible because, you know, you think that it's about the sport, but you've brought in the whole tradition, the ceremony. It's just, it's brilliant because it's about being active, but it's also about, like what you're saying, Regan, it's about respect and, instilling that sense of respect for everybody. Yeah. And I think what you're doing is really amazing. You know, the way that you welcome the kids on.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to it too, you know, like in our culture, you'll see when we're doing the haka, you see the ugly face, the tongue coming out the eyes, you know. But apart from building aggressiveness and being ready and psyching yourself up, like other cultures, like the ninja, like the samurai, etc., there's also different aspects of it, because it's about putting yourself off-center and not being perfect when you're doing that ugly face. And you'll see our carvings, our bone carvings, our rock carvings, our greenstone carvings. None of them are perfect. They're off-center, and there's a reason that we're off-center, because we believe if you're not perfect, then you're humble and your feet are on the ground. So it all comes back to that too. So obviously there's the haka, but inside the haka there's meaning. And there's making kids humble and being respectful. So it's just bringing back that not being perfect is perfect for us, because it means you're humble and your feet are on the ground. So there's a lot more to it than just doing the haka. There's teachings within the haka as well.
So it's a new thing here, Regan. Starts July 30th, Dubai Sports World. Who's it for? How old do you need to be to get involved?
Okay, so it's from 8 to 18 years old for boys and girls. The coaches are going to be myself and Troy Nathan, my colleague, and the other coaches are going to be all Blacks. They've all played for those that don't know, the All Blacks are the our national team. And it's not because of the colour of their skin, it's because of the uniform is all black. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's basically the most, the All Blacks are statistically the most successful sporting team in any sport in the world, win-loss ratio. So they're all ex-All Blacks, all former or present All Blacks, and they'll be coming in and coaching the kids as well. So not only are they going to get the Māori culture, they're going to get the best of the best, cream de la cream coaching and first-hand knowledge.
Tell you what, sounds like it's going to be pretty popular here. There's a great interest in rugby here in the UAE. Regan Sue is the co-owner of the what's going to be happening here soon. Hakka Rugby launches July 30th, Dubai Sports World. Regan, good to talk to you. Let you get back on holiday. Get back to the pasta.
Thanks. Well, I will do some pizza and gelato, mate, and I'll let you know what it's like when I get here.
Nice one.
Thanks for doing this, Regan.
Guys, I can't wait to. Thank you for intervening. I really appreciate it, eh?
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Kakita, goodbye.
4:58, very nearly. It sounds like a good idea.
Imagine.
I like the one word that came across there a number of times was the multicultural thing. And you were right, the idea that when you join, it kind of goes back to the point we were making earlier, that when you first go to a summer camp, a little bit difficult because you're outside your peer group, aren't you? You're meeting new people. If you're welcomed into something,
you're welcomed
not
in.
A bad thing to do.
You are you know, he's talking about humility, respect. I think these are the qualities, like, just fundamental, right? Right now in the world that we live in, particularly in Dubai, with lots of, you know, different cultures, different people, it's just, this is brilliant, and it's for boys and girls, so it's fantastic. Hakka Rugby Global. If Google that, and you'll get onto the site, and that's how you can register.
All right, then. There's an inaugural session on July the 29th. May I just point out that July the 29th is my birthday, just so that you can make sure you buy a card in advance.
Happy birthday in advance. We're more than a month away, so But hey, happy birthday. Are you
expecting
this every
whenever
day?
You can. No, absolutely not. Lord Buckethead's just been... Do you know who Lord Buckethead is?
No.
Yeah, if you register, you can run for a seat in Parliament in the UK. You pay, I think it's £1,000, which is, what, 4,500 dirhams, 5,000 dirhams? That's your registration fee. And you can run in one of the constituencies. Lord Buckethead was one of the people who ran in wherever Theresa May's constituency is. So there was Theresa May and all the other people who are running, Russell May and Monster Raving Looney Party, and Lord Buckethead. And he has a bucket on his head, and he pretends to be a galactic space lord.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's one of the greatest person to follow on Twitter as well, but he's just texted in. Just realise that education matters has two meanings, which it does. There you go. Who'd have thought we'd have heard from
the
Buckethead
things
today?
We learn from this show.
Yeah, thank you.